doing the third perek and the second Mishnah. So it says, Rabbi Hanina Sgana Kohanim. Rabbi Hanina, the vice or the Sgan of the Kohanim. I don't know how to translate that. Omer, Havi Mitparal B'Shlomo Shel Malchus. Be daven for the peace of the kingship. I.e. of the, you know, the kingship in the world. She'ilmala mora'a, because if it wasn't for the fear of the king and for his justice system, right? Ish et re'ehu, a man, his fellow man, chayim bal'o, would swallow him up alive. That's not very optimistic, is it?
It's not very practical for what's going on now in the world with all the dictatorships that are being taken down.
Okay.
Should we daven for them?
Should we daven for, look, it says here, person should daven for the peace of Malchus.
The justice systems aren't really fair, though.
Peace of Malchus doesn't mean you have to, maybe you daven for peace of Malchus. There should be we're talking about Malchus, we're not talking about dictatorship. Someone who's a real melech and he has a system of law, that's Malchus. Dinah de Malchus or dinah? It's Rishonim speak about what's dinah de Malchus or dinah? When is dinah de Malchus or dinah? When there's a fair system, and we learn that from one, that's one of the Noahite laws, a fair judicial system.
Which one is it?
It's the third perek, the second Mishnah. It might be different. Oh, it's in there. Yep. Okay, so now that sounds like, you know, where's this major, this is a major statement that we have to, and also it's very interesting, you say that a man, his fellow man, would swallow him up alive. Even animals don't eat other animals, swallow them alive. They devour them, they kill them, and then they eat them. Here, what do you mean he's going to swallow him up alive? What does that mean? When you swallow someone else, what does that mean? When you swallow something, what does it mean? It becomes part of you. It no longer exists. You swallow something. You swallow something alive, there's no room for the other person to live. He doesn't exist. His metzias doesn't exist. So what this is telling us about a person without Malchus, without fear of Malchus, he doesn't, there's no room for the existence of someone else. I'm just reading the Mishnah. I'm saying this is the reality, but we have to understand the Mishnah. Mishnah seems to be saying if you didn't have a judicial system, if you didn't have peace in the world, each individual person would only see himself. There's no metzias, there's no existence apart from himself. And that's what happened. Since a person only sees his own existence, his friend doesn't have existence. He'll absorb him. He'll eat him alive. Yeah, there's a concept, there's a word like that in English. Huh? You eat him alive? Or is it saying that
I'll eat you for breakfast.
You eat you for breakfast, okay, yeah, I'll eat you for breakfast, okay. The first meal. Yeah? I mean, so we understand what is, you know, this, what's major about this. So let's see Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's get a bit of a hand here. So it says, She'ilmala mora'a, if it wasn't for the fear of Malchus, i.e. of a judicial system, we are being punished. Right? I mean, there's places, Harlem, right? Or places now, they clean it up, right? Apparently, I don't know, no clue. Never went there. But I'm sure there's places around the world where there's mayhem, right? It's like you can't enter there, right? Shehi kasha aleinu, it's hard upon us. Ish et re'eyu chayim bal'o. If it wasn't for the Malchus, which is hard on us, i.e., which was stringent on us, keeping the law, a person would swallow up his fellow man. V'zeh ha'inyan. And it says, Re'ehu, this is his enemy, his fellow man, the person he has dealings with. Zeh ha'inyan ratzon lomar, sheyesh la'adam litpalel ashlom kol ha'olam. A person should pray for the peace of the whole world.
So what was he showing on Israel?
Why is it only on Klal Yisrael? Good question. Let me think about that one. I don't want to answer that one. But maybe when we're asking for the peace on Klal Yisrael, Memele, I mean, Klal Yisrael is the source of all peace. So when Klal Yisrael has peace within itself, that would be mashpia on the whole world to have peace. Because like we said, all the nations of the world are just an aspect of the Yetzirah of Klal Yisrael. The shefa the nations get, this is the Ramban, the shefa nations get is dependent on how Klal Yisrael deal with the Yetzirah, the 70 facets of the nations, the 70 facets of the Yetzirah. So when there's war amongst the nations, or when there's things happening in the world, the shorish of that is usually the Averis of Klal Yisrael. So if there's Shalom, if there's peace, what does peace mean? Shalom means Shleimus, completion. If there's completion and we're Shalom, we're complete human beings, complete individuals, by nature there will be peace in the world. So when we're asking for Klal Yisrael to have peace, that's the shorish of their being, that's the source of them peace in the whole world. You understand? So it could be, that's an answer, I don't know. I have to think about it. Alright. Okay, so here it says we should be davening for the peace of the whole world. Ulitzta'er al tzar shel acherim. And to be mitzayer, that means to have pain when we see someone else in pain. If what to call people get killed in the world, we should have pain from that. Now, the truth is, we don't. We read newspapers every day. This one gets hurt, this one, it happens. Even amongst Yidden, so a little bit of tzar and stuff like that. If someone is closer to us, we feel more pain, right? But, you know, I'm sure there's wars that we don't even know about and all sorts of things happening in Syria. There are innocent women and children being killed. Not everyone's a big Russia there, right? You know, there are honest people and innocent people being killed. Doesn't affect us that much. We're not so like, you know, today we have to say a bit of tachanun, have to bit of davening, this south. It doesn't affect us.
Why is that? It's far away.
What? There's another reason. Newspapers, full newspapers. We have every day is something. Every day. You know, now they have these Vada Rabbonim, you know, you guys don't know, they have like these pamphlets. There's like, you know, hundreds of people who are Batsar all over the world, and they have organizations of stock organizations, very good things. That they, you know, it's organized tzedakah. It's an organized group of people who completely goes to tzedakah, and they have people working to collecting money all over the world. So all the, you know, the cases, you know, the whole of Eretz Yisrael, and maybe some of the cases, if they're, you know, big major cases in the whole world, stock cases, everyone hears about. You have three or four people coming to your door, knocking to your door with these pamphlets, or coming to your kolo, or coming in here all the time. And maybe here they don't come so often, but you have all these things. Tzedakah for this, tzedakah for this, this one's child needs help, this one's has a heart attack, this one, also, you know, this one's, his parents died, or father died, or mother died, whatever, or lo aleinu, there's the illness in the family. Doesn't move us. There's a bit of a difference. When it happens all the time, and there's no personal, you know, connection with that, right? So it's very hard to relate to it. And to always to relate to it might also be difficult, because when you relate to something like that, you have to feel tzar. So can you imagine feeling tzar the whole day? You won't be able to do avoda. Tzar is not profitable in a person. Simcha is something profitable that gives a person merit, to give a person, you know, but to be in tzar. So somehow we have to like feel a little bit of tzar and like forget about it. You know, we have to like feel a little bit and forget about it. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to feel a little bit of tzar and then forget about it straight away. We're not so in control of our emotions. So generally speaking, we just forget about it. You understand? Because it's too many things to happen. Once upon a time, Yidden used to live in a little shtetl called Harnof, right? Little shtetl. And in Harnof, is a pretty big place. Even Harnof is very big, right? I mean, a Jewish shtetl used to be Shalzen and, you know, half of Shalzen. It's a small place. There was a group of people, right? So in such a place, when you hear about sorrows of people, so it affects you. Because first of all, you know the people, they're your neighbors, they're something, that you know them. And you relate to them, you know, they're kids, you know. So that's a tzar, and that you feel. But since the world became so big, and contact with the whole world became so big, everyone's sorrows becomes everyone's sorrows. And it isn't. So we lose the ability to feel for other people. And that's a bad thing. So somehow we should, you know, like, yeah, I don't know how to a good advice for it, but somehow that we should try and like feel some little bit of tzar when someone knocks or someone thinks. We have a little bit of pity, but not that it should dwell with us. You understand what I'm saying? But it's very hard to do that. Certainly in our davening, you know, today it's not hard to do. Today, if anyone thinks, the world is chaotic. If one just reads a little bit of news, it's like ridiculous what's happening in the world. I mean, America, who knows what's going to be with America? And if America falls financially, the whole world falls financially because everything's connected. Europe will fall, China will fall. If you don't have anyone buying products, right? You have 300 million people in America buying products. If they don't have money, and we're talking about the people who buy the products, it's not the rich people who buy it. How much you buy? How many cars can you buy? Right? So you buy the flashy ones, right? How many BMWs you can buy, right? You buy one a year, maximum. The new ones, right? What are you going to do? Right? The people who buy are usually the masses. The masses are usually not the middle class, it's usually the lower class. And the lower class are the people who don't have jobs. There's like 30% unemployment in certain places in America. And if they're not buying, you're going to have people producing less, right? Or people going out of business. And in order not to go out of business, they're going to have to produce in different places, like in China, all sorts of things, right? So then they're going to have less jobs. It's like a vicious circle. And more people are going to be unemployed. And what happens, we know. You know this, what's it called? There was a march in America, in Wall Street, I think.
Occupy Wall Street.
Occupy
Wall Street.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know too much of the details, but apparently, this is what I heard. Tell me if I'm wrong. But something like, they said 25% of the wealth of America, like 10% of the people, or no, 1% of the population own.
Yeah?
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And 10%. A bit more?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And someone told me, I don't know, someone, look, I don't know how much these details are accurate, but someone said that 10% are owned by Jews. And Jews are, and there's a placard there. Whether it's true or not makes no difference. I have no clue. And Jews are 0.00, I don't know how many percentage of the population. That's already being said. And we know from Chazal, we're going to be soon, we're going to have these parashas. Right? That when Esav says, yesh yirav, I have much, everything's okay with Yaakov. There's no problems. When Esav doesn't have, then there's problems with Yaakov. And that's been throughout history. If you look throughout Jewish history, that's been the series of events. And it's always been when Yaakov assimilates with Esav. When Yaakov forgets who he is. And that's part of the brachas, this week's parasha. The Maaseh is this week's parasha. The brachas of Yaakov are brachas, the blessings of Yaakov are blessings with condition. And there's a reason for that. Because Yaakov wasn't supposed to have the brachas of Esav. Yaakov was supposed to be a completely spiritual being. And Esav was supposed to deal with the Gashmias. Since Esav, and the Gashmias he was supposed to deal with the physical world is to bring it and elevate it towards Yaakov, that Yaakov to provide for Yaakov, but he would be involved in the physical world. That's what he was asui. He was made, he was complete in terms of the physicality. And his avoda was to be involved in the physical world. And Yaakov was supposed to be involved in the world of Torah, the world of Avodah. When Esav didn't take his work, so Yaakov took it over, Yaakov took the brachas. But when you're involved in the physical world, there's always a problem. You might forget the spiritual world. You might forget that you're being involved in the physical world for the purpose of the spiritual. It's very easy to forget. If you're just involved in Torah, it's easy. You're involved in Torah. But if you have to be involved in the physical world and bring it to Torah, that's much harder. That's why Yaakov's brachas were given on condition. That as much as his avoda in the physical world is bringing it to Torah, then he has a bracha in his avoda. And he's a bracha in the physical world. But if that doesn't bring him to Torah, then he'll be reminded of it. And Esav's one is going to remind him of it. So if we see these things, the first thing we have to say to ourselves is, we're not being our voters wrong. We're not bringing our physical world. We're not connecting it to Torah. It's disconnecting from Torah. We have to reconnect it to Torah. If we don't reconnect it to Torah, it'll go ahead. This is the mitzvah in which we live in. This is the fact of life in which we live in. And throughout history, you will see that these have been the waves in history. Klal Yisrael, they forgot themselves. Yetzir Mitzrayim was the same thing. It says in Parshas Vayechi, you're going to learn. V'yistimu einayhem v'libam sheYisrael. Because of the Shibud of the Golos, what mean? The Golos didn't start in Parshas Vayechi. The Golos started in Parshas Shmos. So the Chasam Sofer Day explains that the spiritual Golos started in Vayechi and the physical Golos was in Parshas Shmos. Now why am I saying this? What's this to do with the Shlemush of Malchus? Right? Anything that happens outside Arba Amos, Yerushalayim, Har Nof, wherever it is, it's a sign to us. Anything that happens to the nations of the world, it's a sign to us. It's a sign and it's telling us what's happening in the world. If there's not Shalom in the world, that means by us there's not Shleimus. There's something wrong with us. We have to bring that, we have to bring it back home. We have to think, what is lacking in us? You understand? So when they say Shalom Yisrael, I'm just going back to your original question. When we're asking for Shalom al Yisrael, in a sense, there's probably the place we're also asking for Shalom for the world. If there's not Shleimus, there's not a completion, we're not complete as we are, it's going to be effective in the whole world. And it's true in every person's individual life. Of course there's Nisyonas. Of course, you know, Avraham Avinu was Shalom, yeah, he had Nisyonas. He had, you know, he had things that happened to him in his world, in his life. But ultimately, right, even on Avraham Avinu, these Nisyonas were to perfect him. These Nisyonas were to bring him to a higher level of Avoda, or to show his level of Avoda, however which way you want to take it, right? So whenever we have things that happen to us, it means there has to be, we have to, Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us a new level of Avoda. There's a higher stage we want to get to. We don't say, oh, something bad happened to us. Okay, something bad happened to us. Baruch Hashem. No, that's not an attitude. If something bad's happening, think about why. Think about why. You might have an answer. Try and work it out. Try and think about it. Okay, so let's go weiter. The Ken Dalkin Shet Tzadikim, and the ways of the righteous. Kamosh Amar David Alav Shalom. Ani Bechalotam Levushi Sak. Right? Vaniti b'tzom nafshi, she'ein la'adam lasot tachanunav v'bakashotav l'tzorcher levad. A person shouldn't make his own supplications for his own personal needs. Ach l'tpalel, he should daven al kol bnei adam, on all people she'amdu b'shalom, that all people should be in peace, u'b'shloma shel malchus, and for the peace of the malchus, yesh shalom ba'olam, and there'll be peace in the world. So, again, that's the end of Rabbeinu Yonah. So we're asking, we shouldn't only work out. Now you understand what's happening here? What happens when I'm asking for the peace of other people, when I'm davening for other people, and for their peace, and for their shleimus, and for their whatever I'm davening, for their completion in their lives, whatever it is. What does that do to a person? It makes him think outside himself. What's the problem, we said, with malchus? Well, you don't, you're absorbed in yourself, and therefore you're going to bring everyone else is just, you know, he's nullified towards who you are. You're eating him alive, right? You're swallowing him alive, not eating him, you're swallowing him alive. He doesn't have existence outside of you, right? So how are we fixing that? How's Klal Yisrael fixing that? You can understand the Midah Keneged Midah here. If there's a problem in the outside world with people swallowing out people alive, that means what media is problematic? Selfish. They're thinking only of themselves. What do we fix? Think about other people, daven for them. I can't go and help this guy in China. There's no way. Well, I'll take a plane, supplies, and right, what am I going to do? I can't go and help him. But I can daven for him. I hear about things happening in other places in the world, like in Dhamma for that. The feeling that I have to think about other people, right? That's what needs to be fixed for there to be shalom in the world. Because like we said, everything depends on Klal Yisrael. If I'm too selfish, if I'm not thinking about other people, right? That's going to be affecting the world. That's going to bring that midah into the world. So when there's not shalom in the world, what does that tell me? There's a bit of me that has to be fixed, right? I have to fix what? My selfishness. So how do I do that? By davening, by thinking, by being sensitive towards other people, and by generally. So that's the midah keneged midah. You understand the midah keneged midah that's happening here? On a deeper sense, that's what in a sense he's saying here. Okay, next. Go to the next one. Rabbi Chanina ben Taudia Omer, Shnayim sheyoshvim ve'ein b'neim divrei Torah. Two people are sitting together and they aren't speaking the words of Torah. Harezeh Moshav Leitzim. The a gathering of Leitzim. How do you say Leitzim?
Four clowns, like.
Huh?
Like
jokers, like. I don't know.
Jester.
Like the jesters, jokers. I don't know. We'll see what the word really means. It doesn't really mean that. Shenema. Ubamoshav Leitzim lo yashav. I didn't sit in a place of these Leitzim. Avashnaim Shiyoshim Yesh B'neim Divrei Torah. The two people who sit and there are the words of Torah. Shechina B'neihim. The divine presence is with them. Shneema, as it says in the pasuk, as nedabru, then they will speak. Yirei Hashem, people who fear Kodesh Baruch Hu, ish el ra'eu, a person to his friend. V'yakshev Hashem, and Hashem will think, will listen. Sorry. V'yishma, and hear. V'yikatev sefer zicharon lefanav, and write in a book of remembrance in front of him. Le'yirei Shemo, to those people who fear him, u'lechosh v'etmo, those people who think in his name. Right? Ein li ela shnayim. I only know if two people do that. What happens if one person does that? Right? What's the havamina? What's the havamina? Two people do that, one person can't do that? It's a different darga. Right? Different level. Sheyoshev ha'osid b'terah, Shekodesh Baruch Hu koveh lo schar, gives him reward. He's not written in a book. He's only gets schar. Shenema, yeshev v'dad v'yidom. He sits alone and thinks, quietly. Ki natal alav. Because it's placed on him. The Torah is placed on him. He feels this all of Torah. Now, why? What is that? We're having this in one Mishnah. We just spoke about praying for the peace of the kings. And now, as soon as we finish praying for the peace of the kings of the world, that there should be shalom in the world, right? All of a sudden, we're going and speaking about, don't be a late... speak different Torah when you're together sitting, when you're talking. And even one person sitting alone and learning different Torah, the whole world is on his shoulders. Right? What's that to do with Shalom Shemalchus? Why is it in the same Mishnah? There's a pasuk in Mishnah that says, Da'alcheya da'alkei Shalom, the ways of the Torah are peace. Right? Yes? Yeah, it's Chaim Hin, right? Yeah, it's a nice song, right? So I'm sure it's Kabbalah.
Matter of fact, Shul of America
also, man. Okay, it's a good one, right? V'kol nativa shalom, and all its ways are peace. All the ways of Torah are peace. It's halachas. Now we're learning Yivamis in the yeshiva in the second year. And so there's a halacha, Baal Yibum. We learn gedder of the Torah from this pasuk, that all its ways are peace. It's a gedder, we learn gedarim in halacha from this pasuk. Right? Understanding and halacha from this pasuk. Not just a nice little thing. Torah is peace, and the Gemara says. It's chesed, but okay.
It causes peace, or it springs one is more.
It's ways of the ways of peace. Yeah. If it's ways of the ways of peace, it will bring peace.
Just
Talmidei Chachomim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. We read this every Shacharis. Mm-hmm. Right? Talmidei Chachomim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. Talmidei Chachomim bring peace in the world, increase peace in the world. Why? They sit and learn in the yeshiva, right? And they sit and learn things. They're not going out, they're not in Greenpeace, they're not in Peace Now, they're at Shalom Achshav, they don't go protest for peace, right? Free the whales, right? None of this stuff. They're sitting and they're learning in a room by themselves, no one knows about them, the Chazon Ish, till the age of 60, no one knew about him, right? I mean, they knew about him, but no one, like, wasn't with Parasem. Sitting and learning, right? Rabbi Yoshiv, right? Everyone knew about it. It didn't become a godel as he is today for, you know, many, many years. I mean, everyone knew he was very special. Sitting and learning, just sat with the Gemara and learning. What he did? How did this guy bring peace into the world? How do you sit and you're learning here in Yeshiva? You guys are bringing peace to the world? You have a friend, he's in Greenpeace, he's saving the whales, he's saving the snow in Antarctic, right? Some guy saving the dogs in Manhattan, right? Who knows what's, you know, there's major things happening in the world. Someone donated all their wealth, right, to the dog. So he would have a good life afterwards, right? Plenty of dog food there, right? Peace in the world. These things are real peace. I mean, you know, helping the poor, soup kitchens, all these things. People do some real things as well, right? There are some real things, real. So that I can hear you make peace in the world. Sitting and learning, what's that to do with peace?
What's the point of the world? So if you're filling the world's purpose, then
we'll go back to our original thing, what were we saying about? It all starts back home. When does the problem with Esav start? Why does it start? Because Yaakov isn't Ish Shalem. If we're not Ish Shalem, if we're not Shleimim, if we're not complete in who we are, there will not be peace in the world. That's what it comes back to. Ultimately, that's the Shoresh. What gives you Shleimus? Torah. Without Torah, a person can't come to Shleimus HaMaisim. Right? I feel like we're the Tanya Shira, right? Without Torah, you can't come to completion of your actions. It can't happen. You can be a nice guy outside in the Western world. You're a nice guy. You come in with good midas. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, had good midas. That's why he was humble. That's why Rachel, the daughter of Kaaba ben Shavua, married her. But he didn't have Torah. And he hated Talmid Chachamim, the Gemara says. Right? Torah with good midas can first of all perfect those midas, and second of all can make you into a different thing altogether. Can be, it says Ein, says it's a different mission here. Ein ama aretz chasid, right? Velo bo yerechet, right? An ama aretz can't be a chasid. You can be yerechamayim, you can't be a chasid. You can't be a complete person without Torah. So, in the same Mishnah, we speak about the peace in the world, we speak about Torah. Because without Torah, there can't be peace in the world. And all its ways are peace. That means, if you know Torah, its ways are the ways of peace. Now, you might think it doesn't look like a way of peace, but ultimately brings peace into the world. Yeah.
Is learning Torah a substitute for praying for peace? You have to do both.
Do both. It says the Mishnah, you should pray for peace because you should have that sensitivity of thinking of other people, right? And that should be when you see other people in the world, wars, and that only comes from selfishness. Ishet re'eyu chayim baru. That means somehow that's connected with us. Some of the reason these people are suffering is because of us. Klausen have a lot on their shoulders. You guys think you came to Yeshiva, you could have an easy life. You go for Shabbos meals, have cholent, right? Have a few parsha shavuos with your kids, right? Easy life, right? The good life, right? Have a nice family, right? Easy. Then all of a sudden you have shurim, right? And then you're told, for you guys, you know the problems they're having in Afghanistan? That's you. You know the problems happening in America? That's you. Right? You thought you had it easy. You have all this on your shoulders. And you think we're joking. You think this is a joke here. This is no joke. We're dead serious. If we were a light to the nations of the world, if Klal Yisrael behaved like Klal Yisrael, we behaved with our terror, we behaved with all that we have, there would not be the problems in the world. Yeah.
And it's talking about eating, because it's the most gashmiest thing that we do.
Sorry?
It says you should make a bracha, you should tell us about Torah while you're eating. And it's talking about eating because it's the most gashmiest thing, so you might be observed in like the Esau being like,
right.
Not being completed. Whereas you have to like bring yourself up to the level of Yaakov.
Yeah, that's a different mission. Mishnah says when you're eating, right?
That's how that works.
No, there's a different mission. Mishnah says that a person who eats on a table without the Divrei Torah, that's like sacrificing to idols. Ke'ilu achlu mizivchei meisim. It's as if he ate from a Avodah Zarah. Okay, you know, like I'm saying, you guys are rushing and you're eating, so you're rushing to go and learn, so that's alright. You don't have to, you don't have to worry. Right? I mean, we have a share now, maybe we should have a share always when we're eating. Okay, that's not. The main thing is, what's your kavana when you're eating? What are you eating for? You're eating for the sake of eating? Eating because you want to enjoy your eating. You're eating because you have kach. You're allowed to enjoy yourself if you're eating. You didn't have kach to learn Torah. If you mishabed everything to your Torah, then it's fine. You can enjoy. You're supposed to enjoy. So long as it's mishabed to Torah. Yaakov could have gashmius, so he's mishabed to Torah. Now let's read here. What's a late? What's a late? What takes you out of Divrei Torah? What midah is this late that's the opposite of learning Divrei Torah? What's the opposite of that? So let's see. So it says, this is Moshe of Leitzim. It's a very funny thing. There's no like parev. Or you're learning Torah, or you're a Leitz. Right? What about being a parev? You know, like not a Leitz and not a learning of Torah. You know, what were we when we were in university? We weren't learning Torah, but were we Leitzim? What were we before we came to Yeshiva? What were we? We weren't parev? Huh? You were parev, okay. Now we came Bisari or Chalavi, whichever one you want to say, right?
Isn't there some consideration to whether or not you had the knowledge of learning Torah?
Yeah, the Tiduk Shinishba, right, you're right. Torah could mean spiritual things. If you were involved in spiritual things, that can also be considered Divrei Torah, even if you didn't know what Torah was, right? You could be thinking about it, you're learning, it could be interesting to you, right? So let's see. We're talking about, you're right, talking about someone who's from and who's not learning Torah. He can only be put in two categories. So let's say, v'shnei inyanim nikru leitzanut. There's two things which are called, I don't know, mockery or excessive, like foolishness. Heichad loshen hara, speaking bad. Hamadaber ra al chaver, someone speaks bad on his friend. Lachlimo, to embarrass him. Ulevazoto, and to embarrass him, to make him feel like nothing. Bein anashim, between people. Ulachziko nivze beinehim, and to cause him to be low in their eyes. That's a late. That's one form of late. Vezeu min hachataim hagdolim. These are some of the biggest averas. Ashei chete hadam v'asham. Which a person can do, and he's punished, he's blamed, he's penalized for it. Right? That's one of the biggest averas. And the Gemara says, how beba arayas, many people are caught in arayas, doing illicit relations, many in gezel, v'kulam, and everyone but avak loshen hara. Everyone in avak loshen hara. Who hasn't spoken avak loshen hara? So, not being a late is a very hard thing not to be. Why is that a late? I'm learning Torah, but okay, I speak a bit of Lashon Hara.
Because learning Torah is bringing peace and bringing people together. Lashon Hara is
separating. Oh, very good. Lashon Hara is separating people. It's bringing purity in the world. It's bringing separation. A late, just as a Talmid Chacham, brings peace to the world, a late brings pure to the world, separation. So what's the makor of a late? What's his midah that a person speaks Lashon Hara about other people? He thinks of them in a low way. Me, Bal Gaiva. I am the one who's important. He swallows them up with his mouth. He swallows them alive. Right? Chaim Bal'o. Right? What happens in the secular world? Is Lashon Hara in the secular world an avera? Something to talk about. What's latest in the news, right? Oh, you heard about that guy? Or in the college scene, you heard what this guy did the other day? That's normal. That's fine. That's Leitzanus. That's causing purity in the world. Divrei Torah, like you said, is causing chibur in the world, connecting in the world. We have to understand how that works. We understand very clearly how Lashon Hara calls purity in the world, how separation in the world. So now we're beginning to understand how this is actually related to our previous part of the Mishnah. Right? V'zeu minachatayim, we read that. V'ein midezu ki'im ro'a ma'alalim bilvad. Like, he's bad inside. V'alav amar Shlomo b'chokhmato, Zayd Yahir. A person does something purposely, and Yahir is like an arrogant person. Leitz Shemo. He's a Leitz. So the shorish of this is Gaiva. Think about myself. That's the shorish of Leitzonus. What's the opposite of Gaiva? Humility. Who had the most Torah in the world?
Moshe.
Who was the most Anav in the world? Moshe. And we know from Chazal, because he was the most Anav, because he was the most humble, he had the most Torah. And we know the Moshel of Mayim, it's like water, goes to the lowest places. The more humility you have, the more Torah you have. Then there was there's a famous story about the Gror of Chaim Velazhen, right? Chaim Velazhen wrote about the Gror, that he was the most humble of people on the face of the earth in his time. And if we had the Anav of the Gror, he said, we'd have also the Torah of the Gror. So Anav, Rabbi, how can I learn more Torah? Work on your Anav. Have flashcards, right? Do Chazara, do this, right? Work on your Anav.
So what's Anav then?
What's Anav? Okay, so that's how I understand. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most Anav. Who wrote that in the Torah?
He did.
Oh, I have my book, I'm writing a book, self-biography, right? I am the most humble person in the world. Look how humble I am, right? Look how many mitzvahs I did. Look how much stuff I did, right? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, I split the seas, right? Split the seas, the 10 makas, right? He was so humble, he didn't even hit the, right? Look at all these things that happened, right? He's the most humble, right? Look what he wrote about himself. How can that be? What are we talking about here? So it says, humility, right? Roshe says he didn't know the current or panav. He spoke to Hashem, panim upon him. He didn't know that he had like beams of light coming out. What do these beams of light mean? Well, everyone has these beams of light. Michelangelo, the picture of the horns. So it's a karen or panav, it means that beams of light coming out. Where had those beams of light? Because he came to a level of completion. The most a human being can complete himself, that his neshama completely permeated his goof. For that reason, the body of Moshe Rabbeinu was so perfected that it wasn't buried. That we don't know where his burial is. Because it's not in the physical world, it's some like in between the physical and the spiritual worlds. Because he perfected his goof ad kedei kach, right? Humility does not mean you don't know who you are. You know your kochot, you know your strengths, you know what you can do with your life. You're a good learner, you're a humble person, you're a good person, you care for other people. You know that. You know that. And you know you have more strengths than even other people of your age, of your whatever. You know that. You're the best boy in Shia, right? And you're nice, good, best midas. You know that. So what makes you humble?
Because you know that you're only that way because God made you that
way. That's the word. The ability to realize that God gave you that way. Now what happens if a father gives you something that only you have? Only you have. What's the attitude you have? You're in a class, your father gives you a special pen or a special thing to write with. It's like it remembers everything it writes or something. I don't know what. How do you feel about pens? When someone asks you to use it, how do you feel about it? If you're selfish, you're not going to lend it out. But if you have humility, you lend it out. You let people use it. How do you feel about yourself? Why were you given those kelim? Why were you given those ability to give them out, to do good in the world with them? When a person realizes that this is a present he was given from his father, Avinu Shebishamayim, our Father in Heaven, right? The natural feeling of humility is, I don't deserve it. He feels embarrassed. He feels embarrassed of himself. You understand what I'm saying? There's a humility that he holds himself, that maybe I'm not doing enough with what I was given. Maybe I could do more. Maybe I should be doing more. That push that he's, that's what humility is. Because when a person feels that he's given something that he doesn't really deserve, in a sense. I mean, it's a present. No one deserves a present. You earn a living. You don't earn a present. If it's a present, how do you feel about a present? Embarrassed. Maybe I'm not using it properly. Our spiritual level is a present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's a present, we're embarrassed if we don't use it properly. That's what humility is. The embarrassment that we're not fulfilling who we are, and we're not expressing that present that we've given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a proper way, that's the embarrassment that goes with humility. You with me? That's the opposite of a leitz. And that's what brings a person to Torah. Because the more you feel that embarrassment in front of your Creator, look what He's given me. I can breathe, I can think, I can, you know, I can think properly. The more he's embarrassed about who he, what he has, the more he'll want to give, the more he'll feel obligated to give himself. And that's humility. The more he feels that he earned what he has, and that can happen. It's very easy in yeshiva to feel, oh, I spent 10 hours learning Gemara, that's why I know Gemara so well. I did Chazara 4 or 5 times, the other guys did 1 or 2 times, that's why I know the sugya better. There's an emes in that. That guy did Chazara 1, 2, 3 times. He did Chazara 4 or 5 times, right? Of course you know it better. It could be also you have a better head. Who gave you the cheshek, the desire to do that? Who gave you the rotz? Maybe that guy has it hard. Maybe you have it easier. Who gave you that? That also you did? Or that's something you were given? Something we're given. That we know how to use that rotz in a proper way. We know how to express it. That we did. That's what we're going to schar for. And for not using it in the proper way, that's what you get our onish for. Chas v'shalom. You with me? But that's what humility is. The embarrassment of not using ourselves properly because we got such a big present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's another. You with me? That's the opposite of a leitz. A leitz doesn't feel he was given anything. He feels, yeah, he did it. Yeah, here. I'm the one. I'm the guy. I know because I did 4 hours chazara. You know, it's me. It's always it's me. Ishad Ra'eyu Chayim Balu. He only sees himself. No one else exists in his Ava Amas. Right? Even the Gemara says, in front of a Baal Gaiva, even Kodesh Baruch Hu, Dochei Raglei Ashkina, he pushes away the Kivyochel, the legs of the Divine Presence. It doesn't exist. There's not enough room in the world for me and him. That's Chayim Balu. That's the opposite. That's a Leitz. We live in a world of Leitzonus. That's what we have to realize. This is a world of Leitzonus. That's what Torah fights. Torah fights Leitzonus. We come to yeshiva not to be a Leitz. Not to be a Leitz. Halavai, we leave yeshiva not being a Leitz. Halavai, we go back into the world and we don't have these Leitzonus. We don't live this stupid life. Okay, let's go.
So Moshe was he embarrassed? So if he was the most humble, does that mean that he was always felt embarrassed by? But not,
let's say,
appreciating what he had.
No. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the level of humility, got to the highest level of humility. Lo kam kamosha. In other words, we can reach that level of humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? We can't leave his dad, that's a different story. But that level that we complete, given who we are, we complete our lives and we express our lives completely. That's the same dagger as Moshe Rabbeinu. That we can reach. That's a Rambam in Hilchas. I think it's Hilchas Tshuva. I think it's a Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva or Hilchas Deis. But there the Rambam says that a Rishus the Tuna, the Rishus is given, we could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, we can't be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. We can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu in the sense that we can fulfill our potential in a complete way, just as Moshe Rabbeinu did that. And each person in his own life can, in a sense, reach that level, and that's a level of humility, that they are completely expressive of themselves for the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's an Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem is someone who gives himself completely to other people for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the reason of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this. And he's indebted. He's indebted to him. He's embarrassed that this, look how much he's given. He hasn't given it yet. He owes. I owe you HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, I'm not saying we live there, but in thinking, and sometimes very hard, I owe you HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're embarrassed. That's when we do averas. How can you do avera? I'm embarrassed. Look what you gave me. And like, you know, someone ought to call, like, someone even like brings a meal up to you, right? Brings you a meal to your room. You're ill and brings you a meal, right? What are you going to do? When a guy, you know, you see the guy, he, what's it called, is also ill, and you don't bring him a meal. That's something simple like that, right? You're going to be embarrassed of that. How could I not do it? Look what he did for me. How could I not do it? Because we're going to give you life. You breathe because the Kodesh Baruch Hu allows you to breathe. He gives the koch to breathe. Takes that oxygen, makes it into those white, how do you say it? Those blood cells. And you take all that koch he gives you, and he's hilarious with it. It's embarrassment. We don't think that way. We're not living in that way. But if we were to think that way, okay, you know, we're human. We... Inshi. What's Inshi? People. Inshi means Lashon Shechecha. We forget. We always have to remind ourselves. We're always in the process of forgetting. Okay, we'll leave this for today.